You're listening to Sunnyside Up, a B2B podcast that brings you the juiciest insights from go-to-market leaders and practitioners.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Sunnyside Up. I'm your host, Chris Moody, and today I'm very excited to talk to Brian Finnerty on stage-aligned content, the genesis to success. Brian, you have an awesome background in this space, so please tell everyone who you are and a little bit about yourself.
Hey Chris, thanks. Delighted to be here. My name is Brian Finnerty, and I lead marketing at a tech company called Udacity, and I've a fairly varied background. I've worked in a lot of different ed tech companies over the years. So started at Skillsoft, did a startup for developer training, and eventually that was acquired. And then I moved into the ad tech space. So I worked at a couple of companies, Marin Software being one that you might know. I also transitioned over into MarTech. So I worked at Demandbase for a period of time and then made my way over to Udacity, which is where I am today.
Awesome. Love the background. Love the Demandbase connection too. We were talking before we hit the record button, a small world. We've been in the same room before. So I'd love to hear, Brian, how did you get started in marketing and demand gen?
So coming out of college, I actually had an English degree and I specialized in Anglo-Irish literature. So I actually asked myself the question at the time, how am I actually going to get a job? What am I going to do with this? Like, I knew I liked to write and, you know, that was one of the things I could do decently. So I started working at Skillsoft as a technical writer. So really dense technical material and making it readable, making it flow, chunking it for learners, that type of thing. So I learned a lot about written communication, structuring material, kind of figuring out how to make stuff easy to consume. So that was a great training for me and also leveraged my interest in writing. I gradually kind of worked through a number of roles at Skillsoft. And essentially, once we spun the startup out of Skillsoft, the question was asked, well, who's going to lead marketing? And I was like, well, I can write. I can probably pull together the website and I can do some basic communication. So maybe I'll try that. And that was my intro to marketing. I was a sort of a one-man marketing engine, for want of a better word, and took care of all aspects of product marketing, website, communications to customers, prospects, all that good stuff. So kind of cut my teeth in that startup role and built up a team and realized, hey, this marketing thing is pretty fun. Like I'm doing lots of technical stuff. Like I'm learning about conversion rates and I'm learning about engagement and I'm learning about all the latest and greatest tools. And I'm also doing some creative work around engagement with prospects and, you know, creating content that people will actually want to read and enjoy. So I tell people today, like if you're looking for a career, marketing is a great choice because it activates both of those sides of your brain. And it's just fun. It's really fun. And if you do it well, it can be extremely rewarding as a career.
Totally agree. I almost switched in college to be a teacher. So, and I wanted to be a professor for a while too, even later in my career. But I know we're both passionate about content that's aligned to the buying stages and different stages of the funnel. What are some of the challenges you've experienced trying to align content assets to various stages?
So content's a funny thing. I mean, content, when it's well done, well rendered, well executed, should serve a purpose. Like, I don't believe in content for content's sake. Like, and actually putting a funnel stage on your content plan, I think, is a great idea. So one of the things we did at Udacity is we created, you know, top, middle, and bottom of funnel content and aligned resources to the funnel. And that's the first time I've really taken a systematic approach to content. I think it's really benefited us overall. So I think of the funnel as top of funnel awareness consideration, middle and bottom of funnel decision and purchase, essentially how I look at the world. And then think long and hard about which content assets fit in each of those different buckets. So, you know, top of funnel, your prospects know very little about you. They really are fumbling around trying to find, you know, what they're looking for. So thought leadership content and content that educates them about your space, I think, is particularly effective there. So that's kind of how I would orient content at the top of funnel. So you're really looking just to give the buyer some information that's useful to them, you know, steer them in the right direction, get them to consider all the options before they even think about a vendor or a solution. As you move lower in the funnel towards the mid funnel, people are starting to get a handle on who are the main players in the space. So in Udacity's case, you know, people are looking at some of our competitors and they're looking at us and they're starting to whittle it down to maybe two or three options is typically what we've found. So when we do engage with them, that's one question we'll always ask is, you know, who else have you talked to? And if we hear, oh, you've talked to two of our competitors, that's actually great. That means they've done their homework and they're researching a solution that will lead them ultimately, hopefully, to us, right? And then when you get down in the, you know, the lower stages of the funnel around decision and purchase, I think people really want proof points. Like they want validation that if we go with you, with Udacity or whoever the vendor is in that case, you're really going to deliver for us. And I think that's where third-party content from the analysts like IDC, Forrester, Gartner can be incredibly powerful, but also the voice of your customer. And I think that's one of the most fun stages of the funnel, where you can create content that really showcases the business outcomes that you can drive. So we put a lot of energy and effort into building that content lower funnel so that we could show people, hey, if it's down to, you know, a beauty contest with three of different vendors, like, you know, pick us, we're definitely the best looking and the most fun. So that's how I view the content landscape. And we put a really substantial investment into both the framework and building out enough content assets at each stage of the buyer's journey to make it work. And that's just the start then, Chris, because then you have to optimize that content mix for the funnel. You have to look at the data and see which content is actually getting engagement and which content isn't really working. You know, for us, that's a quarterly process. We're constantly rotating content in and out depending on how it performs. But overall, your performance from a engagement perspective, you know, an association with pipeline should be improving over time if you're making smart decisions about what content to drop in.
Great advice there, Brian. And it made me think of one organization I worked at. So it was a large company that acquired a very small content focused company. And I would get asked, what are the top performing pieces of content? And the answer was always, it depends. Like, what stage do we want? What type do you want? Do you want top of funnel, middle funnel, bottom of funnel? And it led to all of the conversations around how we start to determine what we need at various stages. What advice would you have for folks to continue to build on what you were just talking about, but if they're struggling to understand what they need at various stages of the buyer's journey, what should they start to look at?
I would do that exercise that I just talked through, like mapping it out by stage of the buyer's journey and look at, you know, you should have a good sense of your ideal customer profile. You should have a good sense of the personas that you want to engage. And then like what kind of content you think is going to work with those for those specific industries or those specific personas at that stage of the journey. And I think you always want to put yourself in the shoes of your prospect and where they are, right? What they know at that particular point, what they might be looking for, and what success looks like for them. So I think that's probably the best advice I'd give is really be mindful about your target audience, your buying committee, and what they would need at that stage of the journey. And you know what? You can talk to people. Like you can talk to customers and say, hey, when you were researching Udacity, like what other vendors did you talk to? And at the very start of your journey, like what were you looking for? Would this be helpful to you? Like would a thought leadership white paper about upskilling or, you know, how useful is this Gartner report that we had? Like you can actually get real people to look at your content matrix and tell you, you know, what their experience was as they moved through the funnel. So don't forget that, like the customer touch point is always a good one to validate your assumptions. And then the last thing I'd say is attribution, right? You have to be able to not just see how content is being engaged with among your audience, but you also have to tie that to what your business really cares about. And at Udacity, it's all about pipeline. We want to generate high quality pipeline that progresses through the funnel. We want to connect our SDRs, sales development reps, with people who are genuinely engaged and are well qualified to have conversations about, you know, about licensing our platform. So, you know, pipeline is kind of the ultimate yardstick of how successful a content funnel can be. And if you're able to track all of those touch points and make sure that they're associated with opportunities in your CRM, then I think you've got a fairly consistent way of assessing how your content engine is performing.
I love that. And my ears perked up when you talked about investing in the lower funnel content too and winning the beauty pageant, right? You almost said beauty pageant and most charisma, like the most fun. So solving both of those things. But, you know, I'm curious what channels you think are best for activating stage aligned content? And I'm guessing there's some variance depending on stage of the funnel, but I'd love to hear how you would respond to what channels are most effective, which is an extremely vague, ambiguous, loaded question, right? But then maybe even double click on later stages and how you're trying to activate some of those bottom of funnel assets you're investing in.
Yeah, I mean, some of the channels that we found most effective, like digital advertising, obviously is going to run throughout the funnel, and I think it should. In my personal experience, we don't do a ton of display, but display, I think, is particularly effective top of funnel, just building awareness and getting in front of the right people. We at Udacity take an approach with our digital advertising where it's we use dynamic segments. So we only advertise to, you know, people with a certain title of companies in certain industries of a certain size. So that type of, you know, segmentation is really important to us so that we're hyper efficient in how we, you know, how we advertise. But I think display works, in our experience, pretty well top of funnel. As you get further down the funnel, you know, LinkedIn is a really important channel for us. That's, again, using dynamic audience segments. That's a great way to reach your target audience at the consideration, decision, or purchase stage. And you can obviously retarget people once you've got them engaged, which is a, you know, really effective way to make sure your message is landing and it's not missing the mark. Email is, you know, the gift that keeps on giving. If you're going after the right segments, I think email can be a really important channel. And ultimately, it's your website, like the experience that you're driving people towards and how easy it is for people to get the information they want, either through a chatbot on your site, through your resource center, and where all your content is housed, or, you know, through contact forms that run on your site. Making that experience as painless as possible is really important. And then underpinning all that, like I said, is an attribution model. No attribution model is perfect, but if you can find one that gives you a good indication of how you're influencing opportunities, then I think you're in business, because then you're talking the same language as your SDRs, as your AEs, you know, then you really have a good sense of how you're influencing pipeline and quality pipeline that's progressing through the funnel.
I love the focus on pipeline and opportunities. Just want to call that out for everyone listening that it's language we should all be talking in as marketers to make sure that we're really aligning with sales. I'm curious what metrics you use to determine success of stage aligned content and the strategy you put in place. I know that it's heavy on pipeline and opportunities, which you hit on those. I think that's extremely important for everyone to think about, but maybe if there are any other metrics or a different angle of the conversation that you think people should be thinking about with pipeline.
Yeah, like not to sound too redundant, but I think pipeline is ultimately the name of the game. Like that's what you're trying to do. Certainly there's other benefits to putting good content out in the market, and sometimes they'll surprise you. You know, you're getting brand awareness. You're definitely engaging in meaningful conversations with people who are thinking about a solution like yours. So I think there's definite benefits to having a lot of thought leadership content that sort of supports your brand and your brand identity and where you want, you know, your prospects and customers to go. So I think it's essentially leading people on a journey. You can look at all kinds of engagement metrics, as you know, Chris, to see how successful content is. And we certainly look at those, but those in isolation are not really telling me what I need to know. What I need to know is that the content we're producing is actually helping people along that journey down the funnel and that they're getting to their destination right with us, right? So ultimately, I do think pipeline is the measure by which content marketing is measured. There are other ancillary benefits, but at least that's my take on it. Like to justify the investment of time and mind space and energy and your team in creating content, it really has to be a substantial contributor of pipeline marketing influence pipeline.
Outstanding. Okay, we're in the home stretch here. A couple rapid fire questions. These are quick hitters that are pretty easy to answer. The first we call good reads. Is there a book, blog, newsletter, website, or video that you'd recommend to our listeners?
I'm a big reader, so there's probably loads, but I'd highly recommend people read No Rules, Rules, the Netflix book by Reed Hastings and Aaron Meyer. I don't agree with a lot of what's in that book, and those are the kind of books I like to read. Their whole approach to talent and to culture, you know, to finding out what you're worth to an organization, all that stuff. It's just very thought-provoking. It's the Netflix way, and it's how they built this juggernaut of a business, you know, with relatively small employee headcount and so on. So they really, really go after top talent and encourage people to just get stuff done, right? So I think have a read of that. It might raise your hackles a little bit, but you know, every good book should do that at some level. So that would be it on the book. On podcasts, I'd highly recommend Professor Galloway. I'm listening to his podcast a lot. He's also got a great podcast with Kara Swisher, who's just published a book. So Professor Galloway, Professor G, I think is a great podcast for people to listen to. And he'll touch on marketing, he'll touch on sales, he'll touch on investing. It's very interesting. And he has he has an opinionated take on many things, which is great. And then for more marketing oriented stuff, I do like Dave Gerhart and Exit 5. The stuff that Dave and his team now put out on LinkedIn, I think is really great. I just like the way he writes. I like the way he thinks. And again, original thinker, always enjoy reading his posts and his updates. And I think he's got a pretty solid community going there. So that's another recommendation I'd have.
Awesome. Great choices. We're going to put those on our list to make sure folks are checking those out. And then good people. Are there any inspirational folks in the B2B space that you recommend we bring on the show?
Yeah, there's a few. I might skew a bit Irish on this one, so forgive my bias. It is coming up to Patrick's Day. I would talk to, so Shane Murphy Reuter is the CMO at Webflow. I don't know if you've had Shane on the show. He's a brilliant marketer and looks at the world from sort of a brand and a demand perspective. So I definitely get Shane in to talk about his marketing philosophy. I think it's really fascinating and he's just a great guy. Michael O'Connell is another Irish marketer. He's based in Dublin now and works for a company called Tynes. And I think Michael has a great perspective on how to do, you know, good content marketing, good demand gen, and just good overall marketing. And also a super decent guy as well. And then one other person is Tulin Green, who worked with me at Udacity for a time. She's at Confluent now. She's sort of a global field marketing specialist, but way more than that, like a real marketing thought leader and an overall excellent person as well. So those are the three, Tulin, Michael, and Shane.
Awesome. We'll put them on our list as well. So thanks so much for the tips there, Brian. And then the most important question of all, after the podcast, how can people get in touch with you?
Probably LinkedIn is the best way to get in touch with me. Like I'm pretty active on there. I should post more than I do, but I guess I'm busy. So yeah, I always accept LinkedIn invites from people who are, you know, looking for any kind of advice or direction or guidance. If I can help, I'm happy to. And I do believe, you know, in marketing as a career, and I believe people who are thinking about marketing as a career want to progress in their careers. I believe it's really important to help people, you know, find a path to be really successful and have a job that you get up and really enjoy doing. And I think for me, that's marketing. You know, it's a fantastic and very rewarding profession. So yeah, always open to those conversations. And yeah, find me on LinkedIn. I will accept the connection request.
And just don't sell anything. There you go. I'll do that for you so you don't have to be the bad guy. No pitch slapping, as Ron Tite would call it. So Brian, thanks so much for joining us on the show today. This is a great episode. Really appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Chris. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Today's episode is made possible by Demandbase. Demandbase is smarter GTM for B2B brands to help marketing and sales teams spot the juiciest opportunities earlier and progress them faster. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Sunnyside Up. If you liked what you heard, please rate and review us and subscribe to our show on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts. You can also find us on YouTube and Demandbase TV.